Well, we live in time, so we can only go forward in time at a certain pace, and we can't go backward in time, right? We're just kind of stuck, and whatever way that we move forward is what it is. And so things change around us, and we don't notice that they change. It's not until you leave for a while, like if you left Detroit for like 5 or 6 years and then had recently come back and looked downtown, you would probably be shocked and say, whoa, look what happened downtown. Everything looks so different, right? Cass Corridor looks so different. When you step away, you realize, oh, something used to be a certain way, but now it looks like something else. Let me give you a couple examples. So this is Times Square, 1932. That's what it looked like. And very different. We had cable cars and all that, and this is Times Square today. All right, obviously a lot different. Neon and pictures and lights and sounds and all that. Here's Las Vegas during the Rat Pack era, 1960s, 1970s. You got that one big neon sign there. And now, here's today. Right, a literal light in the darkness, sort of. Not really, but a light that shines in dark. I'll just leave that alone. I'll move on. This is post-World War II Tokyo after the bombings. Look how much in the battle that happened, not much there. This is Tokyo today. In many ways, yeah. And this is it today, all that's happened. But if you're living in the middle of that, maybe you don't notice as much as when you look at a stark picture like that. This one's the most shocking to me. This is 1984 Dubai. This is today in Dubai. Wow, 34 years, how quickly that changed, right? Some things change quicker than others. You hit some oil and you get some money and boom, there you go. Everything looks a whole lot different, doesn't it? So all these places, they were one thing and now they are something else. And that's what Paul is telling us today. That you used to be, before Christ, you were something. And now after Christ, now that you have Christ in your life, you are something else. You are something else. And that old way is no longer what defines you, but the new way of who you are is what defines you. And because of that, because those who are in Christ are this new creation, this new thing, there's a new way to live together. There's a new way to be reconciled and to live together and to live with one another. And that's what we're going to talk about today in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. So go ahead and open up with me, page 1665. We're going to be looking at that, verse 11. Paul uses a few different images in this passage. He mixes them together to talk about what he's trying to say. But he begins with a word, a really important word, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body of human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Our passage today, there's Jewish believers and there's Gentile believers, and they're at odds with each other. They're conflicted with each other because the Jewish believers say, hey, we were the first, we're part of the covenant, the original promise of Abraham, look at us, God has not forgotten us. And the Gentile believers say, look, God has brought us in. God has brought us into this new covenant, and we don't need to have circumcision, we don't need to do these other things because we have Jesus. And so these two ethnic groups, these two different groups of people are at conflict with each other over who God says they are and how they want to worship and follow God, right? So nothing has changed since then, apparently, that we're still in conflict with each other, unfortunately. And sometimes it's over matters of the word and matters of what God says we are and what he calls us to do. And so what Paul says here is very interesting. The first thing he tells them to do, he says it twice in verse 11 and verse 12. The first word is remember. First thing he tells them is remember. You who are arguing with each other and you who think you are superior than the other, remember how you were before Jesus came into your life. Remember how you were before you were saved by Jesus. Remember what life was like for you back then. And that's not to say, well, go moping about and be sad about how you were before. Like, that's not what he's saying. But he's saying in that moment, remember how you were before. One commentator says this, when you acknowledge your spiritually dead past, it opens up the door to thanksgiving today. When you acknowledge how much you were lost in the past, it opens the door to say, thank you, God, for how much you have done for me today. Here's the five things he says. You were Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, and godless. That's what he says in verse 11. You were without Christ. You didn't know Christ. You were falling away from Christ. You were doing things on your own without Christ. And you were stateless. You weren't part of the people of God. You were considered his community, his family. You were apart from that. You were without citizenship in Israel. You were friendless. You didn't have a lot of people around you who followed Christ. You were on your own, doing your own thing. You were hopeless. You didn't have hope, not true hope that lasted. You tried to find your hope in the things that would come and go, things that could not last. And he says you were godless. So it doesn't mean atheist necessarily. It just means that you weren't following God. You didn't consider what God wanted for you to do. He says you were Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, godless. He says remember that. Remember how lost you were. Remember how far God has brought you. And then he says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So he says, all those things that you were, you're not any of those things anymore. Now you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's good news, amen? Amen. Brought near. We're no longer Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, godless. We are now fellow citizens in God's kingdom. Brought near by the blood of Christ. There's this wonderful passage in Ezekiel, it's kind of graphic, where God says, I stumbled upon you, Israel, like a baby that was kicking around in its own blood and didn't know what to do. And that's their way to remember. Hey, remember, before God, you were just kind of kicking around. You didn't know up from down, left from right. You didn't know what to do, what not to do. You didn't know what was life and what was death. But now in Christ, you have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. A beautiful picture. And when you remember that, he says, remember. Remember how you were before. Remember. It strips you of your pride. It strips you of your arrogance. It strips you of all those things of superiority. And it makes you realize, wow, like look how far we've come through God. Look how far he's brought us. I'm no better, no worse than that person over there who is struggling to get by here. Remember, he says, remember how you were before. You who are in conflict with each other, thinking that you're better than them and you're different than them and blah, blah, blah. Remember. Remember where you were. Remember how far God has brought you. Then he uses verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups into one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. On here. So here's a picture. This is a little inscription here. That was found in the temple. I'm going to tell you what that is in a second. But Paul is using an image that existed at the time. I'm going to grab these walls right here. We're going to take a wall. And I'm going to try and sneak it through here, okay? Thank you, Paul.
You're not working for Trump, are you?
No. We're putting a wall right here. All the way up. Okay, can you grab the other one, Paul? Thank you. The other one, just put it right behind it. Thank you. There was a wall that existed literally in the temple and had this inscription on it. And the inscription says this, no foreigner, no Gentile, may enter into this place, this balustrade around the sanctuary and enclosure. Whoever is caught on himself shall be put to blame for his death, which will ensue. Which means Gentiles, you stay here and worship. Jews, you stay over here and worship. You guys, this ethnicity can stay here, this ethnicity can stay here. And there was a literal wall that divided the two. And so Paul says that Jesus came and he destroyed this barrier. He destroyed this wall that separates us. Now we put a literal wall in the middle of the sanctuary, okay? The other walls are taller. I couldn't get them in there, but otherwise I would have put some in here and some here, and you can even put one up front. Because we build walls around ourselves. We build walls around ourselves. See, the people of God thought that if the more they separated themselves from the world, from everything else, they would be more holy. If I could just be in our own way and be separated and out there and not worry about anything else, they'd be more holy. But he says, no, he tore down the wall that divided you. Walls create hostility between people and between people and God. So what does putting walls up do? The first thing it does is it divides us, okay? Immediately we've been divided. This half of the sanctuary, that half of the sanctuary. It divides us and it makes us stay where we are, right? We already kind of sit the same place every week, right? I mean, not a lot of you move around a lot anyway. But now imagine there was a wall. that kept you from going there, and you put up this wall between you, we'd really stay in our own spots. Walls like this have created a sense and can create a sense of superiority, saying, I'm on my side, you're on that side, my side is better than your side. They make us miss the fact that we are all breathed into by the Spirit of God. Every single person. Remember, we talked about that last week. God takes pleasure in his creation. So every person is breathed into by God. So remember. Second thing walls do, they separate us. They make us go our own ways and kind of hang out where we are in our own little groups. They create the separation between us. That's what walls do. Diversity is our strength. Diversity in the kingdom of God. Diversity in who we are and how we worship and how we see God and view God. The third thing it does is pushes us away from God when we create these walls between us. Right? Those of you who are sitting next to the wall, are you able to focus really on this altar or on the word? Or are you just kind of focused? There's a big wall right next to you. Right? That's right. Because what we have is this wall that's here, that's in between us, that's completely blocked us. And that's all we can focus on, that's all we can put our energy toward is this wall that's between me and God and me and these others. And that's what walls do. They push us away, further away from God. Thank you, guys. Can you take our walls away? We don't need these walls in here. Get them out of here. Thank you. So look what he says. He has destroyed these barriers. And here they are being destroyed right now as we speak. They're taken out. We're going to go set them on fire outside. No, we're not going to do that. We still need them for later. But he's destroyed these barriers that separate us from each other and separate us from God. Christ came to destroy these barriers, this dividing wall of hostility. These walls create hostility between us. And by setting aside in his flesh the law and its commands, he created a new humanity, it says in verse 15. Literally means a new flesh, a new group of people with a new identity. Their identity is in Jesus Christ alone. That's their identity. He's created new people. And verse 16, he has put to death hostility. Literally, it says he executed hostility. He guillotined it. He cut off the head of hostility. It is no more. Through Jesus, the wall has come down. There is no hostility. There should be no hostility, right? Paul is showing us here for these Gentiles and these Jews that people from different groups of different backgrounds, they can find common ground in Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. People from different groups of different backgrounds, they can find common ground in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus has torn down the walls between us. He says, verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We just heard the anthem, right? Of let me be a bringer of peace, a peacemaker. By one Spirit. It is one Spirit that unites us in that way as the wall has come down. So it's good that the wall has come down. It would be even better as if God built something in its place. And that's what he does. Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So the wall has come down, and in its place, he's building a temple, a beautiful temple of his people, one on top of each other, joined together for the glory of God. That is the church. That is what he has built in place of the wall of hostility that used to be between us. And I've always thought, you know, when we think of a temple, if you go outside and look at our building, we got all sorts of bricks outside that kind of match and they look nice. Or if you go to a white gleaming temple, they're all nice and look all the same and like that. But when we think about this temple, that's not the image I want us to get. I want an image of something unique, something that kind of looks like this, right? When I was teaching in high school, the seniors, they had a chance to decorate a brick in the hallway. And maybe a lot of schools do that. They got to go, and each senior got a brick or a corner of a brick or a half of a brick, and they could decorate as much as they wanted. And it told their story of their 4 years. It told their journey through school. It told their dreams and all the different things that they wanted to do. And each brick looked completely different. And you walk down the hallway, and you're like, whoa, explosion of color, because every other hallway had these white, pale bricks on the wall. But this was a colorful wall where people got to share who they were. This is the walls of the temple that God is creating. That's how I see it. This temple of God's people, each with their own story, each with their own background, each with their own history, all of different shapes and sizes and colors that are coming together to form this beautiful temple. Now, if you went to build something, you would probably want to try and find all the same size bricks and all the right mortar and all this stuff, right? Otherwise, your building is going to crumble. So how does a building with different size bricks and different shapes and different colors, how does it stay together? Verse 21, Christ is the cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone. He is the one that supports this building with all our different shapes, all our different colors, all our different things, all our different baggage that we bring, all the different hopes that we have. Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone. So as you think of this, I want you to think of not a gleaming white or, you know, whatever building. Think of something like this. All these different pieces being put together by God into his temple. The most important words here, what I want to finish with today, the most important words come in verse 21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Joined together. Joined together. I want you, if you can, take your right hand, take your left hand, you got your four fingers, kind of interlock them like this, okay? Do that for me. Now, can you move to the right without moving your left hand? Can you move to the left without moving your right hand? No. Because why? Because you're joined together, okay? This is the image that I want you to have here. That I'm joined now to my brother and sister in Christ. I'm joined together. I don't just get to go off and do what I want and say what I want and be what I want. No, I'm joined together now. So when my brother or sister cries out, then I want to cry out with my brother and sister too and weep with them. When my brother or sister rejoices, I want to rejoice with them as well because we're now joined together. And that can go pretty deep, right? That can make us really consider and think about how we act and how we behave. You know, when my African-American brothers and sisters are weeping and crying out about another man who was shot, and I'm over here and I don't understand that entirely, I don't get to just walk away and say, you know what, that's not my life. No, 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 now guess what, we're joined together. So I go with my brother and sister and say, explain to me, tell me, share with me, teach me, let me listen to you, let me hear why you struggle in the midst of this. When an immigrant family is sent away, and my immigrant brothers and sisters are crying and mourning, I don't just get to walk away and say, that's not my life. No, we're joined together now. We come together and say, tell me, teach me, show me. Tell me why you are crying out in the midst of this. Help me to learn. That's what it means to be joined together. That's what true reconciliation looks like, which is what this passage is about, being reconciled. It doesn't mean that we just get rid of every single other identity in my life and say, well, now I'm a Christian, good, everything else is gone. No, no, no. See, I'm a Christian, and I have Christ in my life. Now I got my friend that I'm joined to, my brother and sister, who looks like me sometimes but sometimes doesn't, who acts like me sometimes but sometimes doesn't. And now we are joined together in this life in Christ. How do we live together? That is reconciliation. It is messy. It is dirty. It is difficult. It is hard sometimes. But that is reconciliation. That is true reconciliation that's going to last. So what do we do? Three things. First thing we got to do, celebrate our diversity in the kingdom. Just like this image of all these different bricks that are there, we are all different. Our diversity is our strength as we come together as the kingdom of God. As we come together in that way, we celebrate that. That we're not conformed, but we're transformed by Christ. We're transformed. Second, we need to acknowledge the places that we are broken and we need to reconcile. You know, the reason Paul uses this image of a wall is because we can all relate to that. Right? I've put up walls between me and other people. Probably we all have, right? We say, whatever. We put a wall up there and it creates this separation and it separates us, it divides us. Most importantly, it draws us and that other person away from God because we can't focus on God when there's a wall between us. But also along with that, we need to acknowledge that maybe there's some places that we don't even recognize we've put a wall up. And we need to say, Holy Spirit, teach us this morning. Teach us and show us, where have I put a wall up between my brother and sister? Where have I put a wall up and said, you know what, that's not how I see things, so and say, Lord, take down that wall, destroy that wall of hostility between me and my brother so that we can be continued to join together into this temple that you are creating. And because of that, we need to talk to each other. That's what reconciliation is talking. As part of it, talking with each other, hearing from each other, listening from each other, being reconciled and being the church. See, we have a powerful message, I think, if we go to be the church, not just go to church, but be the church. We have a powerful message of reconciliation that we can bring to this world. Of a group of people who are joined together that don't just go off on their own when things get hard, but say, hey, no, we are committing to stay with each other. This is what biblical reconciliation looks like, that we are going to stick with each other through the hard things, through the difficult times, that I'm joined to my brother and sister, that I don't just get to run away on my own, but that I'm committing to you as Christ has committed to me. And that's the foundation, right? Christ is our cornerstone. He has committed to us, and so we commit to each other in that way. And that may be a challenge for us, that may be something we haven't considered, but I encourage you to consider that, to pray for that, to seek that this morning, true biblical, godly reconciliation with each other. Let's pray. Lord, help us this morning. Maybe there's some walls we've put up that we don't even know with our brothers and sisters, and even with you, Lord, places that we've tried to block off and say, Lord, you can't look at that. But Lord, I want to invite you into my own heart, into our hearts this morning, to tear down these walls of hostility, because that's all they do. They breed hostility. Tear down these walls of hostility and help us to see that we are joined together by one Spirit, that we're not just off on our own doing whatever with no regard for my brother or sister, but as one brother weeps, and so we should weep with them. And as one rejoices, we rejoice with them. Lord, help us in the places that we don't see our own failures, our own faults, Lord, our own hostility. Lord, reveal that to us this morning. And Lord, help us to not leave here today until we have gone to our brother or sister or made a way to go to them, to tear down that wall of hostility. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that removes us from our old way of life, Christless, hopeless, stateless, godless, and brings us into deep fellowship with you this morning. We thank you. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.